Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Welcome back to the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM. Hope you're having a fabulous day. Really looking forward to our next conversation. Nadia Boysen, who has been on the show before, last year in 2024, she shared her story. She's a cancer survivor and an oncology counselor. And we're going to be having, I think, a rather delicious conversation about and around hope. Which is, I think, as I said, something that maybe we need to be reminded of or just unpack a little bit. Nadia, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. So for those who missed the show when you were last on, I mean, you, and it's so interesting because you have worked as a an oncology counselor for many years, and then you yourself were diagnosed with cancer.
Yes. Yes, that was a bit of a unexpected life event. I think nobody really ever expects to be diagnosed with cancer, you know, and for some reason we do actually believe more that we won't be diagnosed when we work in the field. It feels a bit ironic. I don't know why we do it, but for some reason we don't think that if you work there that it will happen to you, even though the stats are there and everything. There's just this part of hope that you won't ever be the person in the bed.
I'm sure, Nadia. I mean, and I mean, for you, where, I mean, did you have, well, we were just talking to a doctor before about all sorts of symptoms, but for you, did you have symptoms? Did you ignore them for a while? Or did you, because you have worked with so many cancer patients, did you think, oh, there's something odd here?
I felt a lump that actually came and went, and I went to two doctors, and they said that it's nothing. And I think I just had this voice in my head to say that, no, I think I just want to be sure. And it turned out that there were actually three lumps at that time. I think that's also what I always try to say to patients and people that I talk to, you know, when you have that little voice in your mind, just go and check, because anybody can make a mistake, you know.
Yeah, listen to that inner voice. It's kind of what we were saying a little bit earlier with Dr. Khlala, you know, all of these symptoms with this particular brain tumor we were talking about, and sometimes we can get lost in the, we can get very neurotic, or sometimes we feel something but we don't want to do anything about it or something. And there's that balance, right? It's the balance between living with, you know, sometimes things coming up and knowing what maybe could be dangerous or not. And I suppose, you know, you were dealing with that all the time, Nadia, with patients and being in that area and walking the journey with so many patients. So when you were diagnosed and that voice, the doctor said, no, everything's okay, but the voice said, I'm not so happy with this, and you persevered with, finding what was wrong, and then you had the diagnosis. Was it a huge shock, or did you go into kind of fixing mode because you had helped so many people? Was it like, right, now this is the next step?
I think it's all about the diagnosis that you get, the level of shock. It plays a big part. And I think what was terrible for me was that I went to a separate clinic because I didn't want the people that I work with to find out before I knew exactly what was going on. And when I received the phone call from the doctor, his first words are, this is bad. This is really bad. I think that would scare any living person.
That's terrible. You
know? Yeah, it was. But I think he was also shocked because he also said to me, you know, it doesn't look like much, if anything. So he was also very confident that it wouldn't come out positive. And because it was triple negative and the medicine wasn't as advanced,
Nadia?
You know. Yes. Hello?
Sorry, you disappeared for a moment, Nadia. You back with us?
Am I back? Am I back on?
There we go. Carry on. Sorry about that.
No problem. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. You were saying that your doctor was really shocked.
Triple negative breast cancer. And sure. Because the medicine wasn't as advanced and the immunotherapy, it was a bit different. Can you hear me?
Yes, carry on, Nadia. Sorry, you disappeared for a moment. Please carry on. I don't know if it's my internet I'm having a problem with.
I don't know where I lost you.
Let me pick up then with a question, and perhaps you had answered part of it, but I wanted to ask you, with being, you know, in the position that you had been in, was it your first port of call to go into, you know, kind of the mode that you had used with other patients who had gone on it, or did it really set you back that you had to reassess and find kind of your own route, your own path?
I think it's very important to always be authentic in your own journey, and travel through your own journeys in your own way. And I always advise patients to do the same. It's almost like grieving. Nobody does it the same way, you know, and I think people should be respectful of that. But I, as a way of life, I do kind of just automatically go into a mode. And just do things. So the bigger shock came afterwards when it really sunk in, and I had to deal with the side effects afterwards and the long-lasting side effects and the ways that it changed me and life and the way that I should be living, you know. The biggest part was afterwards, definitely.
Wow. So, I mean, you've been in remission for 4 years now.
Yes.
And you still continue with your patients. What has that brought you in terms of working with patients? I know you work one-on-one. I know you work with groups. But from your journey, I mean, you've said that everyone's journey is individual. But has it added something to the way you deal with cancer patients?
Most definitely, yes. I think there are just things that you don't understand until you've been through it. And things like chemo brain and neutropenic sepsis, you know, there's certain side effects from the chemo which patients can explain it to you as much as they want to, but there's no way that you truly understand what it's like unless you've been through it. You know, and neuropathy is the other thing that I sit with, and truly understanding how disabling that is. So from a physical point of view, you know, that truly helps, because it's often talked down, and you can't understand it. So you try to be empathetic, but it's so hard because you just don't know. From an emotional side, you know, I think the fear that's there sometimes, the fact that families often matter more than patients during that time. It's not that they do. It's just that the focus is more on them very often. And the patients often cater much more for the family's emotions and needs than for their own. And also just being authentic. That's something that was brought to my attention very much. And not trying to just be perfect at dealing with this situation, because there is no perfect way.
Wow. As you said, I mean, all of those insights, and also just around the patients putting family first, you know, we've heard it, you know, I'm okay. You look, you know, you, the patient, I'm all right. I'm just wanting the family to be okay. And just realizing that each journey is so unique and being authentic on that journey. So many insights, Nadia. I mean, I think it's a good segue into the conversation that we want to have, which is around hope, really. You wrote something which I thought was so beautifully philosophical. You know, maybe we can just unpack that. I mean, where did you come up with the, you know, from the poem, Alexander Pope's poem, An Essay on Man, hope springs eternal in the human breast. So let's unpack that. Let's look at hope. and what that means when you face these kind of challenges.
Yeah, I think it's just something that came up to me as hope springs. Hope is something that I truly incorporate into my own life. My name also means hope. So from I was very young, it's something that's just been a very big part of my life, is to be hopeful and to try and make life better for myself and for others in whichever way. And I think, you know, the day that you stop hoping and working towards a better life, it becomes very grim. And I think you just become much more aware of it when you are faced with a life-threatening illness or difficult circumstances. And if you don't have hope, what do you have to get up in the morning? What is your reason then to get up and carry on with life? So I think hope does play an imperative role in how people get through life and carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, you know, when you're given a diagnosis, I mean, just listening to what your doctor said, it's bad, it's really, really bad. And, you know, when you're going for treatment, that makes you feel so weak and so ill. And as you say, you've got your brain's not working right, and everything just feels kind of hopeless at times. So what do you say to cancer patients in order to keep that hope, the hope from within, burning, to keep that spark alive?
I think it comes back to that wheel of life that we spoke about on the first time that I was on the show, about cancer not defining your life and getting back your power and the roles that you play in life. Because if you have those roles and you don't degrade yourself to just cancer to take over your life, you know, you start refocusing on other goals, and life beyond cancer, or life just outside of your doctor's appointment and everything. And that gives you hope to reintegrate into life, but a new life. So where I mostly say to patients, you know, is you have this wonderful opportunity within a very, very challenging situation to recreate your own life. You know, it's very seldom in life that you actually have that time and that space to design your own life, to choose what you want from life and what you want to do in life again. It's almost like a second chance, I see it. You know, it's like a blank canvas that you can now decide, is this what I really want? Or have I just fallen into these roles because this is how I grew up, or this is what I've thought I should be doing, you know? And you can stop that and say, well, I've actually always wanted to play the piano or sing, but I just don't have the skills, you know? And I say to people, but take that on, do it, because you have a second chance in life. And even if you're stuck, you know, it's something that will give you enjoyment. And, you know, that's fundamentally what I feel is hope, is redesigning your life the way that you truly wanted, your inner self, your authentic self, you know, and it's to find that person again.
Wow. I mean, so what I'm hearing you say is that sometimes life takes over, we do things that we don't necessarily want to do, you know, we're all driven by, you know, we have to pay bills, we have to get through life, there's certain systems we have to comply with, and sometimes we lose our way. And so cancer is almost like a pause. It can be that, an opportunity to reevaluate, to reflect, and with this pause to see whether things can shift, whether you can forge a new path. You're almost seeing it as a really fundamental time of your life where you can shed the old and kind of reveal the essence of who you are, which makes it quite an exciting, on top of all the challenges, could be an exciting, hopeful journey. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, definitely. You know, I think if there's one beautiful thing that you can take from cancer, that's it. You know, having a second chance at life and doing it the right way.
Wow. And I suppose, Nadia, as well, is also acknowledging, because I don't think you're saying, you know, it's all roses and sunshine and wonderful, that with on that journey, there are going to be the difficult times. But it's more processing and being with the difficult times and letting hope kind of drive you and being the energy that gets you through it. So it's not pretending, it's not sugarcoating. Mm-hmm. It's really time to reevaluate, heal away, acknowledge the difficult, only to move through to find something quite precious that can be found. I love that, Nadia. Do you find that that's difficult for people to get their head around?
Some people are very fond of the idea. They buy into it quite well. Other people would say, but they're happy with their work, you know, why change? Yeah. But I think fundamentally it's so much more. So you get guarded people who don't really want to dive deep because it is a lot more emotional journey than it is actually making the physical changes. You know, you have to do the work because you have to understand why the changes are needed and why you didn't follow the path or why it's a scary path. You know, and I think while everything is so uncertain during that time because of cancer, you know, people are sometimes afraid to make things more uncertain. So I hope when they don't follow the idea, you know, it's not always the right time, the right place, you know, but that something of the conversation would stick and that they would just think a bit more about their lives. But in the end, that's also what cancer does. It makes you reflect. So it's not just about that conversation. It's also about the whole process. There's no way that you're not going to reflect on your life and what you've done and what you can change, because they do want control back, and that's also a way of getting control back.
Yeah, Nadia, thank you for that. I think it can be really challenging to dig deep and to find the emotional stuff that perhaps has been holding us back, these patterns, these things that are there that come up, these triggers that are there, and cancer certainly is a very big trigger, and you've got to be very, very brave to face those, to delve, as we've said, you know, reevaluate things. But as you've also said, cancer is the opportunity to do it. And I love that the underlying push or the underlying force could be that there is this hope that is driving you. And I suppose that when you are on not just the physical journey of the treatment, but there is this emotional, mental, psychological state that you're working through, that makes you very much an active participant as well on your healing journey. So I thank you so much, Nadia. You know, with your experience, you bring so much. And we really do appreciate it. Before we've got two clips. So I just want to say thank you, Nadia. Thank you for joining us again. It's been lovely having you on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, and take care. Thank you. Giving us this idea of hope, and I think especially with what is going on in the world, you know, hanging on to that and knowing that it comes from within. We've really got to light that fire from within. So thank you, Nadia. Nadia Boyson, cancer survivor and oncology counselor.